For our scripture reading this morning, we turn to 1 John chapter 1. The text to which I call your attention this morning is the ninth verse of 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. We'll read the entire chapter first of all. This is the Word of God. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the Word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye may have fellowship, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Thus far we read God's Word this morning. May God bless the reading of His Word. The text is verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the text this morning speaks to us of forgiveness and cleansing. That's the gospel. That's the good news of the text here in 1 John 1 verse 9. A sinner is made clean. An unrighteous person is made righteous. The guilt of sin, the stench of sin, the blackness of sin, is all washed away, and the sinner becomes white with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's the good news of forgiveness and cleansing. The black sinner is washed whiter than the snow. This forgiveness and cleansing is presented in the text as certain, because it is based upon the very character or the nature of God. The passage speaks of two of God's attributes that describe God's character. The text tells us what kind of God our God is, whom we serve. He is a God who is described as, first of all, faithful, and secondly, as just. The text points us to the faithfulness and the justice of our God. This is why cleansing, forgiveness and cleansing are certain. If God lacked these attributes, if God were unfaithful or unjust, then this forgiveness and cleansing would be shaky propositions. Salvation itself would be uncertain. But this Word of God assures us this morning, forgiveness and cleansing are sure because God is faithful and just. But the text also speaks to us this morning of the way that that forgiveness and cleansing is certain. And that's the way of confessing sin. If we confess, John says here in the passage, if we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're reminded then this morning of the importance of confession. That's important for us because we're going to be reminded and are reminded again this morning of the reality that we are all sinners. And therefore, we need to understand once again that God does not damn all sinners to hell merely on the basis of their sinfulness. The fact that they are sinners does not consign people to hell. God does not bar people from the table of the Lord merely because they are sinners. God does not tell the church, the disciple, or the elders, rather, in particular, that they need to discipline people only because they are sinners. If that were the case, then because we are all sinners, we would all be consigned to hell. We would all be barred from the table of the Lord, and we would all be the objects of discipline. But remember, the contrite heart of the faithful must not be dejected. That's not what God does. God does not give reason for those who are contrite, who are sorry for their sins, to be dejected, to be depressed. Because those who are sorry for their sins must not think that forgiveness and cleansing, access to the table, eternal life are only for those who are without sins. No. That's true for those who are not contrite. Those who will not confess sin. Those who will not admit before God that they are worthy of condemnation. They who continue in sin. John speaks of them here. Those who won't walk in the light, who walk in darkness. Yes, God's word to them is, you are not forgiven. But those who confess and who are sorry, the word of God reminds us once again this morning, God addresses them. God says to them in the sermon this morning, and in the sacrament, I forgive you, and I cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's certain. Let's consider that this morning, then, under the theme, certain forgiveness. That's the word of God to us this morning. Certain forgiveness. We'll notice in the first place what this certain forgiveness is. Secondly, we will notice why it is certain. And then thirdly, who it is for. Now, I know the text isn't worded that way. But let's understand this morning that this is God speaking to His people, to whom He has given the grace to see their sins so that they confess them. And this is God saying to His people, I forgive you. Yes, the text is worded, if we say we have no, or if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. It's not that direct. Nevertheless, those who lay this word to their hearts, who see and acknowledge their sins this morning, to them God is speaking in this word saying, I forgive you all your sins and all your unrighteousness. God's forgiveness, God's free forgiveness, God's gracious pardon of sins. That's the subject of this passage. And it's good for you and me to consider God's forgiveness because that's comforting for us. One of the things that makes sin such a struggle is the doubt, the thought that there is no forgiveness. And one of the struggles is that, and maybe you're struggling with that right now, some of you, others don't forgive very freely or very graciously. Maybe there is someone holding a grudge against you because of a sin. Or, and this is maybe the greater struggle for many, it's difficult to forgive yourself. You don't forgive yourself. You hold yourself up to some high standard. You place before yourself some conditions. You can't forgive yourself because you see this sin or you see this weakness, this failure in your life. How comforting it is to know God's word of forgiveness, of free pardon and unconditional mercy. Forgiven! That's the word of God this morning to His people. It's good for us to consider God's forgiveness because it's also instructive for us. To hear God forgive us, to hear God's word of forgiveness to us, is the instruction to us to forgive one another. That's in view here too in this first chapter of John. John is speaking about walking with God, but also about walking with each other in the light. If you and I are going to forgive the spouse or the neighbor, we need to know the forgiveness of God first of all. Forgiveness is God's act of taking away sin. That's it. It's God's act of saying you're not responsible for your sin. It's God saying you had sin, you did sin, but you don't have sin anymore. I've forgiven your sin, taken it all away. You see, forgiveness this morning does mean that we are sinners and that God, who is the holy God, who is light and in whom there is no darkness, He knows that by nature we are sinners. That's why He comes to us with this beautiful word of forgiveness. If we were not sinners, if we were righteous, then we wouldn't need forgiveness. God would say, I love you because you're perfect. You don't need forgiveness. But God comes to us with the word of forgiveness this morning because He says, I know you. I know what you are by nature. I know what you are in your father, Adam. I know that sin and death have passed upon you and that you, in your own life, you've committed many sins. And so you see, the word of God to us this morning is that He knows that we are in ourselves sinners. That's the word of God, for example, in verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, well, that would mean we don't need forgiveness. But the word of God says if you say that, you are deceiving yourself and the truth is not in you. And then verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, this becomes more serious. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. We actually charge God with falsehood. Even people who don't know God or His Word, who refuse to acknowledge their sins, even if they aren't conscious of this, John is saying they're guilty of this, they charge God, they accuse God with being a liar. Now the important thing here is that means that God says something about us and our sin. That's the implication, isn't it? God says, this is what John is telling us, God says to me and to you, you're a sinner, you're guilty. And therefore, if you say, I have no sin, you are contradicting my word, what I say, and you're calling me a liar. Now, don't do that. Don't make God a liar. But accept God's word this morning to you, and I must do this too. You're a sinner in need of forgiveness. And notice the emphasis is on the fact that we have committed many sins. The text does not say, if we confess our sin, plural, sins. And the text does not say, cleanse us of unrighteousness, but cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not three, that's plural, Seven is plural. 70 times seven, that's plural too. But we all know when we, in our prayers, and our children do this too, when we say, "Forgive us our great and many sins," there are many, many more than we can count. God is telling us this morning, not only that we have these great and many sins, but He, the God, who is the God of light, in whom there is no darkness, knows these sins. There's no point in hiding them. There's no point in excusing them. There's no point in saying, "Well, in my conflict with this other person, it was the other person's fault. There's no sin in me." God says, "I see sin in you." He knew when Jacob lied to his father. David committed adultery with Bathsheba. He knew. He knows all my and all your sins. And let's be careful not to make that too general. My great many sins. And then move on. But this week, you did that, didn't you? You thought about your sins. Your own particular sins that you've committed. God knows them. God knows them. We're sinners. But we are sinners who are forgiven and cleansed. That's amazing. This is the message, John says. God is light. God is brilliant light. God's righteousness, God's brilliance, His perfection, beloved, is more brilliant than the new white snow that fell yesterday. God is so pure, He can't even behold sin for a moment. He can't look at it for a second. Yet that God who is light and in whom there is no sin speaks of forgiveness and cleansing. And it's that forgiveness that makes us clean. God, who is holy, says, "I forgive you of that sin that makes you dirty, that defiles you, that pollutes you, that makes you stink." So that when you hold your nose, when you smell trash or manure, God, that's what He smells. Our sins, God has forgiven that. He has taken away our sin so that we are clean and righteous in His sight. This is what God says. "When I forgive, there's no more sin in you. I don't see any sin. You're clean. You're white with the righteousness of Jesus Christ." And the amazing thing about that forgiveness is it comes to us without any conditions or any strings attached to it. It comes to us with God saying to us, He always says this to us when He forgives, "Even though you don't deserve it, even though, yes, I know that you are a sinner, filthy, I've forgiven you and all your sins, all your unrighteousness, they're gone." Now that's not the way that we by nature forgive. We forgive, we love. Well, if, that's what we say, if you do this, or because you did this, God forgives even though we've sinned. That forgiveness is grounded, John tells us here, on God's faithfulness and justice. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This faithfulness refers to God's constant faithfulness to His own Word. God is true to His Word. God does not speak, as we often do, and then fail to perform what He has spoken. God's Word does not return to Him void. God speaks, and He does what He says He will do. That's His faithfulness. That's connected to His justice. God is right. God is the standard of what is right. He never does anything that is wrong. He is holy and just. And now what John is telling us this morning is that these two attributes of God are connected to our salvation, particularly the forgiveness of sins and being cleansed from all sin. This has to do with God's faithfulness and justice. Now notice what John is telling us. This isn't grounded upon you. This is not grounded upon your works. This forgiveness and cleansing does not depend upon the sinner. God has made this a matter of His own faithfulness to His Word and His own justice, His faithfulness to His own righteousness. How, you ask, is salvation grounded upon God's faithfulness and justice? God has made salvation a matter of His word of promise. Salvation didn't originate with Adam. When Adam and Eve fell into sin, they didn't come up with a plan of salvation. They didn't reveal a plan of salvation. It was God who came to man in the beginning and spoke the word of salvation. And God has been faithful to that word. And that's what gave confidence, for example, to Abraham. We read of that in Romans chapter 4. Abraham had received these great promises of salvation. Included in that was the land of Canaan. He and his seed would receive that land. Included in that was the seed, the children, that he would be given as many as the sand on the seashore and the stars in the sky. But the main promise was the coming of the Savior. God said to Abraham, "You're not going to die in your sins. Even though the Messiah, the Savior, hasn't come yet, I promise to send Him in your generations, and He will come and save you from your sins." And Romans 4 tells us, Abraham believed God because he counted Him who had promised faithful. He knew God would uphold His word. Now Abraham understood then. This doesn't depend on me. Abraham died long before the promise was fulfilled, but he counted God faithful. And so to Abraham and all of the Old Testament saints, you understand, salvation was based on the faithfulness of God to His word. And God, in faithfulness to His promise, sent Jesus Christ. And this is where then His justice comes in too. Many believe that justice doesn't have anything to do with salvation. In fact, many believe that in order for God to save His people, He must set aside His justice, His righteousness. If God's going to save sinners, it must be, they say, because of His great love. His love which overrules and cancels out His justice. But we know that one attribute of God, His love, cannot overrule another attribute of God, His righteousness. We know that these things are in perfect harmony within God. God is the infinitely perfect God of love and of justice, of mercy and of righteousness. And so John is able to say here, it's not just God's love that saves us, but also His justice saves us. And that justice is revealed in Jesus Christ. Oh, His love is there. His faithfulness. God said to sinners from the beginning and says to us yet this morning, "My love for you is so great that rather than punish you for your sins, I have sent Jesus Christ." But here's where justice comes in. God must punish sin. His righteousness demands that sin bear the punishment of death and of hell that it deserves. And so John speaks here in verse 7 of Jesus Christ, whose blood cleanseth us from all sin. That's because God laid on Him our sins. Without that, beloved, there's no forgiveness. Do not think forgiveness is merely God covering your sin, hiding it from His eyes, and pretending it's not there. No, this is God's forgiving our sins, taking our sins, placing them on Jesus Christ, punishing Him with the punishment we deserve, so that His justice is satisfied. And now here's His justice. Let me back up. Here would be injustice. God now having punished His Son, not forgiving the sins of anyone for whom He died. Praise God, He is not unjust. He's just. And because His people have received in Jesus Christ the punishment they deserve for their sins, God is faithful and just to forgive every single sin. That's why it's certain. Because forgiveness is grounded in the very character and being of God. But now, not for everyone. That forgiveness, that salvation is not for everyone. The grace of God. That's why we've come together this morning, isn't it? To receive God's grace through the means of the preaching, the chief means of grace, through the means of the sacrament. A means of grace that gives us grace to confirm our faith, to strengthen us and our faith in salvation through Jesus Christ. It's not for those who won't confess. And you know that's just. If a man makes God a liar, refuses to acknowledge God's word that he is a sinner, or a woman, refuses to look at the cross of Jesus Christ, which God declares is the only way of salvation for salvation, then God is just to refuse to forgive sins. But God is also just to forgive those who confess. Because even though they confess that they are guilty sinners, and that's confession, beloved, literally to say the same thing God says, to say the same thing together. That's what the word confess means. And remember now, God says we are sinners. This is confession. To say with God, God's word is true, I'm a sinner. To say with God, God's word is true, my sins are great and many and they are terrible. To say with God, my sins deserve hell. And then to say, but I turn to Jesus Christ, to His payment for my sin, as the basis for my forgiveness and salvation. Ah, there is the justice of God to forgive me all of my sins because I look to Christ alone. And that confession is not our work. It is another aspect of the faithfulness of God. It's God who works in that in us, that awareness of sin and depravity that grows more and more. Did you experience that this week? You saw yourself as more sinful than you've never seen yourself before. Maybe you experienced that this morning. Beloved, that's not a word of despair for the child of God who's given grace to understand sin. That is actually the love of God for you in Christ Jesus. That you may see the blackness of your sin and then see the light and the brightness of His grace and His mercy. That's great love. Let me briefly illustrate that for you here a moment. We speak of the love of newly married couples. There's a phase, not just a week, but even sometimes a year or two, where they're on their honeymoon. And that love is a love in which we mean something like this. They don't even see each other's weaknesses and sins. They just love each other. But no, that's not when they love each other. It's when the honeymoon is over and they see the weaknesses, the blemishes, the sins, and yet they love each other, are committed, and forgive one another. That's when a wife, that's when a husband experiences real love. Beloved, this is the love of God for you and me. That the more we see the blackness of our sins, the more we see God's grace, His mercy, His beauty shining in our salvation. So don't run away. Don't refuse to confess. Don't be afraid of God. If we confess, He is faithful and just to forgive us. Let us then forgive ourselves and forgive one another. Amen.